Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Well, I want to get right into the Word today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke. Luke chapter 15. I have had this on my heart for several months, and I have been continually bringing this up and sharing stories from this for a season. And I had to share this with the church. I talked about it a few years ago on a Wednesday night, and God has just continued to reveal out of this story. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11, if you will read along with me. A man had two sons. The younger of the two told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings, moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money on wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man becomes so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I'm dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him, get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet, kill the calf we've been fattening. We got to celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found.' So the party began. Meanwhile, in verse 25, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf. We're celebrating because of his safe return.' The older brother was angry, wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, 'All these years I've slaved for you, never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf.' His father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found.'" This story, a man with two sons asked by the younger son for his share of the money, and he goes off and blows it. While feeding pigs, he decides, "I'm going to go back to my dad." He decided he was better off there, so he heads back and the father runs to greet him. Church, we've got to think biblical. We have got to think biblical. We've got to see life how God created us to see life. And I think it's important as we study this story this morning that we can understand that God has an application here for the church. And we've got to see this. We've been speaking and talking a lot the last few weeks about the significant role of the church in your life. And understand that God is the one who significantly gave us the gift of the church so that we could be effective for him. Yeah. And we've got a couple of guys in this story that messed this whole thing up. And I want to make sure that we understand the significance of not going where they are. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing over your word today. Lord, that it would come alive in our hearts. And Lord, that we would be able to receive and be different because of it. We could make changes where we need change. We could be, Lord, just secure in the areas that we're doing right. And Lord, that we would continue to follow your example as you've given us so many in the word. In Jesus' name, amen. It always amazes me to hear people talk. It just really does. Your talk reflects what's in your heart. What you're saying on a daily basis, what comes out of your mouth is a reflection of what's in your heart. And a lot of times we get in the flesh and our heart gets messed up and we're talking out of what's in our heart. And we got to get that heart right because we get it messed up. I hear people, and I hear people when I'm talking to them about church. And I just had this exact phrase here 2 weeks ago. I was waiting on some stuff being done to a vehicle and I was in there visiting with somebody. And it always turns around when I'm there because I intentionally turn it around to talk about the Lord or about church or about something so I can introduce them in some way to possibly the things of God. And oftentimes, as I'm visiting, as you find yourself, you'll start talking to someone and you find you're with another brother or sister in Christ. And that's always fun too. But I hear these words, and I don't know if you've heard them, but I talk to them about church. And they say, lightning would strike if I walked in a church building. Anybody ever heard? Maybe you said that at one point. Lightning would strike if I walked in that church. Well, you're here and it didn't happen. That's a good thing. The ceiling would fall in if I walked in a church building. Not happened yet. In fact, I don't read any stories about that really happening. Where do people get that concept? I mean, really, it's not about church, but it's about God. It's about a concept that they think. See, they get that concept because they haven't learned to think right. But the word helps us to think right. And we've got to have the correct response when someone says that. Well, there's three people in this story, and we've got to see all three of them this morning. Often this story is referred to as the prodigal son. Have you heard that? So, I mean, a lot of you that's been in church your whole life, obviously you've heard this story. It's a parable in the Bible to give us real truths that we can apply to our lives. And in this parable, I want you to understand this parable in the Word is not about a rebellious kid. Now, you may have heard it preached that way, but that's not what it's about. See, the Bible is about God. He is the central figure of the Word. And so the Bible being about God, this story reveals, teaches, and shows God. That's what this story does. The heart of the Father is what I want you to see in this story. Father God is the central figure. The parable here shows the heart of the Father, and he shows that through two examples so that we can get a hold of God's true heart. It's not just about one son, it's about two. And as I read this, and it starts out in verse 11, I didn't read this to start with. I skipped the first few words. Those of you that were following along go, he missed it. No, I did that on purpose. Here's the first few words of verse 11. It says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus then told this story. What point? To illustrate this point further. The point, you got to back up then and read verse 3. Here's the point. Jesus told them in the story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he'll call together his friends and neighbors, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents, returns to God, than over the 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. See, he's getting set up for this story. Verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins, loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, will she call all her friends and neighbors and say, hey, rejoice with me because I found my lost coin? In the same way, there's joy in the presence of God's angels when one sinner repents. I love this story because I live in the country and people are losing their cows all the time. And you know, I've yet to hear one farmer say, oh, well, hate it for him. Hope someone else finds him and can use him. No. There's value in that cow. There's value in that. And they go search. And I read this story and I think, we're missing the value God has placed on the people's lives. He doesn't want to lose you. He wants to keep you close. The first point that I want you to get today is you have not gone too far. You haven't gone too bad. Your heart hasn't turned so far away that God doesn't want you in his presence. You haven't got there. You can't go so far that Father God is not eagerly looking for you. He'll leave the 99 and look for the one. No matter how bad a decision you made, God is not going to stop looking for you. He's not going to stop. Verse 11 and 12 does concern me a bit, though, as I read this story. Because it says, a man had two sons. The younger asked for his share of the estate. And God gives it, or the father gives it to him. In illustration, the father, God, gives it to him, gives him his share of the estate. You know, when you got saved, you got a share of all of the father's goods. You had it all available to you. And here's what concerns me about this. You have that given to you. You have it given to you. And I don't know if it's ever been this in your life, but I just wish that sometimes God would just grab me by the neck and pull me back and say, get back in line. Come on. What are you saying? What are you doing? What are you thinking? I mean, have you ever just, after you said, did, went somewhere, you just, I should have never gone there. And we pray, God, please don't let me walk off the cliff. And you need to know today, that's not the way God works. That's just not the way he works. God, where were you? You knew what I was going to do. Why didn't you help me out? Why didn't you protect me? God, I can't believe that you're allowing me to do this. God's going to allow you to do whatever you want to do. The father's letting him do whatever. Don't blame God. For all your mess ups, God didn't protect me. She was there and I couldn't help myself. Then who's going to help you? We've got a country right now that can't help themselves. Somebody needs to tell them that's because you chose not to. You can help yourself. You can make a different choice. God, don't let me do something stupid. God, please don't, please don't. But he's not going to stop you. He ain't stopping you. Verse 13, he packed, moved to a distant land. You know, you have a father who loves you and has given you the opportunity to eat good food from him. And he goes away, packs up and moves. And before long, he's broke and he's miserable. Young people, hear me today, especially those of you that are graduates, getting ready to graduate, just graduated. I want you to see what's waiting for you in a distant land. There's something waiting for you, and I want you to know you can have it all. You can go get it. You can go take off, and you can know when you believe behind what you've been taught, for all the glamour and the excitement and the desire to just, come on, I just want to live a little, Dad. Come on, Mom, I just let me live a little bit. Here's what awaits you with wild living. Wasting all your money. A great famine is ahead for you. A starvation will eventually come to you. Come on, can anybody say, I'm not proud of it, but I was there? Wild living, it'll cost you dearly. Verse 16, he gets to the point where finally he's realizing no one gave him anything. Young people, you can't have wild parties without people being at your party. And I have said this and I'll say it forever. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Every time. Every time you start heading down, well, I'm just trying to witness to them. That's all you're hanging with. They're witnessing to you. You pull them, that's fine. But if they're pulling you, well, I'm going where they are. Understand, going where they are is famine, disease, and hunger. That's what will end up happening. See, your wild party, you've got to have someone there. A distant land, wild parties, everyone there is not there for your best interest. They're there for the party. They're there actually for the same reason you are. They're there for the wild living, a distant land. Friends, I just want you to know this morning that I have had friends that have said, I'll be with you till the end. And when I've went through tough times in my life and was in church, I always was amazed at how the friends who weren't in church were right there. And so it's easy when you're frustrated in church, when you're frustrated in trying to live the Christian life, to see that there'll be a bunch of friends that are right there trying to lead you to different thinking. Come on. Come over here. There's a party. We're having a great time. I'll support you. I'll be here. And they will until the alcohol's all gone, till the money's all gone, till everybody leaves the party. Oh, you can stay here. When the dope's all gone, you're going to lose the couch that you're sleeping on at their house. They're going to steal your TV to pay for what you've not been paying for. And what I'm telling you is, that's exactly what's being said in this parable. It wasn't as great as, if you're under 20 and you're here today, stand up. 20 and under, stand up. That wasn't just to wake you up. I want you to hear what I'm saying. And I think everybody older than that will agree with this. Church, look how many are standing right here today. I am wanting you to know that God sees it significant that you're in his house this morning. He sees it significant that you're in the Father's house. And I want you, everyone today, to be hearing what I'm saying and learn from this story. But I want you to also know you don't have to. It will be your choice to hear what I'm saying. It won't be your mom and dad's because they drug you here. It won't be yours because you said, well, I wanted to come. You will have to choose whether or not you're going to hear what I'm saying. But know this, I had you stand in the month of May in the year 2017, and one day you may look back and remember. I remember Pastor making us stand one morning in church. I remember him doing that. And I pray that you're never like that, but you remember that heading away from the Father's heart will not end good. Always, always head towards the Father's heart. So when you start having friends wanting to pull you away, you have the freedom to back away. And you can remember in May of 2017 that God still wants you wherever you are. Even if there are times you're kind of wondering and straying and your mind's kind of, God still wants you. God wants you in his house. God wants you in his house. Y'all give them a hand this morning. Appreciate our young people. Verse 17. One of my favorite verses in this story and in all the Bible. I love it when this happens for somebody. He says, Jesus is using in this story, when he came to his senses. Now let me just talk to everybody else here today, or everybody today. You don't have to raise your hand. Every one of us has a family member. Probably somebody real close, a son, a daughter, a grandson or daughter, a brother or sister, maybe even a mom or dad, who are far away, and your prayer is that they would come to their senses. Come on, everybody here, hear what I'm saying. God has not forgot them. Come on, I want to encourage you today. God has not forgot them. Let's not either. Let's not either. Let's continue to pray, and I want you to understand that we're praying that he would come to his senses, because you can get hungry enough. You can be miserable enough that pig slop starts looking good. And I know that that's the case. I have seen different people. I've seen my own family members get to the point that they lost everything and they were eating a pig slop. You say, really? Okay, well, maybe not physically, but if it would have been there, they would have been. See, that's where this guy was. And know this, all of it could have been avoided. Now, I know we're covering this story real fast, but I want you to know there's a long downward spiral till you get to the point where you're finally starving. And you have to be careful that you don't get on that road. Year in and year out living like this, you will finally get there. You'll lose your job. You'll lose money. You'll lose this. And it's all because you left the Father's heart. You left his house. You left what he had available. Verse 17 through 20. He said to himself, it will take you realizing that you are where you are because of your choices, and it will take you having a talk with yourself. Has anybody been there? It won't be a pastor speaking that to you. It won't be a best friend. It will be you having some self-talk. Saying, what are you doing, big boy? What are you doing, young lady? It'll take some self-talk that you have to realize when you come to your senses and you start talking to yourself, you might go, the Father's house was way better. See, you're here this morning and you've got to come to a point of realizing the Father's house is way better. The Father, I love this, when he said to himself, I'm going back to my Father's house. The Father saw him coming and he runs. He says, arms open, kiss ready. He wants you back. Father wants you back. He wants you in his house. And I just want you to know this morning that you haven't gone too far. Your family members, come on, they haven't gone too far. God is waiting for them to come to their senses. And that's why it's always important that we don't keep feeding them from our house when they're in a distant land. You keep feeding them from your house and taking them so that there's a big word here, enabling them. Come on, this story is just real clear. They've got to come to their senses, and they do it when they're in the pig slop. That's when it happens. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but the provision's here. Come on. Come on. I'm looking for you. The cows get out in the woods. Come on. The grass is way greener. I got cubes right here for you. So it's way better in the field. What are you doing over there? Well, the grass looked greener. It's growing over a septic tank. Ooh. Don't miss this. The Father accepts him back. He wasted his money. His time ran out. His money ran out. His food ran out. His friends ran out. But the Father welcomes him back. But know this today, the money is gone. So we don't see this, but I want you to know there's a real story in this story. We have a generation of people who don't understand permanent consequences. They don't get that. See, his share is gone. He blew it. Your Father will forgive you, but the money is gone. You can do whatever you want, but there are times that what you are doing will cause you so much damage that you're not repairable in that area. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, let me just say, you can play with knives as a kid, and if my daughters had done that, played with knives, and I come in and they cut their finger off. They cut their finger off, and then the dog took the end of the finger and chewed it up. And I'm running over, and I'm doing everything I can. Stop the bleeding. I'm grabbing a hold of the finger. We're running to the hospital. We're doing everything we can. See, my love is there. My care is there. My protection is there. Everything is there. But that's always gone. People lose their family because of the distant land. And you're not getting your family back. But that doesn't mean that God won't take you back. See, there are things in a distant land that can cause you permanent damage in this life. And you got to know that. You got to know that. God forgives you, but you're still pregnant. See, God forgives you, but you're still in jail. God forgives you, but you don't have the life that you could have had had you not headed out. Come on, I'm trying to warn you this morning, young people. Understand this. Oftentimes, they give up what they could have had. The scars of wild living are oftentimes not erasable. You can't get rid of them. The Father will be running to you. He wants you back. But please understand, there are consequences to wild living. And you got to know that. All right, verse 25. Meanwhile, I always like it when it, meanwhile, the other son. Let's talk about him for a second. Because we don't want to be the first son in the story. But we got to know that if we have been, if there is somebody we know that is, the Father wants them back. The Father wants them back. So, meanwhile, the older son. I've heard this message preached my whole life. It just taught about the prodigal son in reference to his wild living. But understand this, the prodigal son is not a sermon for the church. It's a sermon for the street corner. It really is. It's for the one who's not in church. But what happens is we read this story and we overlook the other son that was in church. They were in the house. They were there. Verse 25, you got to see what was happening here. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. He was working. He was in the father's house and working. And then he throws a fit because the other son's getting to come back and enjoy the father's house. This point of the story is for everyone in church. Because I'm aware there are people that come to church that are here all the time that get frustrated when somebody else comes in and can do the same thing they do. Well, I'm the guitar player. Who are you? I am the greeter. You can go take another door. How about that one right over there? No one comes in that door. Exactly, that's yours. So I am the nursery worker. I am the sound man. I've helped with the youth. I'm the one that parks cars. I help you. Who's this guy? I thought he left for wild living. And we've got people in churches all across the country. It's just like, I've been the worship leader. I have been here and I know I'm 87, but I'll be here until I die. And nobody's taking my place. You kidding me? What? Nobody. One thug comes in the building and everyone's welcoming him, making a big deal about him, and no one ever says anything about me. Come on. I get no recognition and I'm here working when nobody else is watching, but I never see it. You know, that can happen right here. We can miss the benefit of being in the Father's house. We're just missing it. That's what he did. Be careful and not miss the point that you're in church today. And get this. I love this part. He tells his son, everything I have is yours. I want you to know today, that's God's word for you. In church, this everything he has is yours. Everything he has is available to you. Oh, but I'm living so miserable. You didn't get the story today. Everything he has is yours. You know he has peace for you. Boy, I'm so miserable. God has joy unspeakable for you. It's yours. But a lot of times, you're the other son in church doing everything and miserable. Everything is yours. And you got to know that. You can live angry today just like the other brother. I'm in church, I'm giving, I'm here, I'm serving. No joy, no happiness, no excitement. Come on, this is the day the Lord has made. Let's be happy. Let's get some joy. Let's rejoice in it. Boy, you're in church today. Woohoo! Oh, I'm so mad. There's no need for you to be walking around with that sour attitude. Come on. Everybody do this, and then turn around and do a push-up. Some of y'all need that today. You're in church. Everything he has is yours. Come on, everything is yours. Come on, God has great things, and it's yours. Why are you miserable? Come on, it's yours. Well, we're missing it. We're missing it. It's yours. Get it. Get it. Quit being a prune. You get up in the morning, you get dressed, and you say, it's a good day, and I'm blessed to live it. Yeah. Or you can be angry, you can be depressed, you can be frustrated. It's your choice. But God has a great life for you. We got people in church that aren't enjoying life. And I don't understand that, except for they didn't get this story. And I'm trying to give it to you this morning. What I want you to know is you're in the Father's house today and you're not starving. The police aren't looking for you. It's a good thing. You're not alone today unless you choose to be. People all over the square in Springfield just wishing they had a house to live in. We don't have any homeless people right here today. Everything God has is for you. See, you're not eating with the pigs and wishing you could have some of what they're eating. We got a great life. But we just miss it all the time. The message today for those of us in church, the older son in the Father's house wasn't enjoying the benefits of being in the Father's house. Come on, don't be in the Father's house and not enjoy it. The older son had gotten so spoiled that he didn't even realize the blessings of what he had and how he was living. If you're in church, you got to know that the joy and the blessings of God are yours. Take them, take them, take them. He's offering them to you. Come on, older son, realize the blessings that you're living in. Realize that. You have benefits based on being in the Father's house. Because I'm in church, I have been in church long enough now to watch people leave the church. And I have watched their life after leaving, not just leaving this church and going to another church, leaving the church and not being involved with the things of God. And I've watched their life spiral, spiral, and spiral down. I've watched it time and time again. I don't ever see anybody that leaves the church and not in the church. And I have watched this and their life spirals and spirals up. I don't ever see that. I don't have an example of that, not once ever. I've watched. You'll find that the first thing you see as things are spiraling out of control in your life is that the things of God start looking way better than they did when you were there. You'll start seeing that, and you're wishing you could go back. I want you to know you can. You can. You can. God wants to save you from messing up your life, in or out of church. The key is verse 31. It's just a key here. His father said to him, look, dear son, you've always stayed by me and everything I have is yours. Don't get out there and find out the hard way. Don't leave the Father's house because you're frustrated that someone else came in it. The story here is about the Father and his heart towards his people. Now, I don't want to be either one of these two. Three people in a story. The rebellious son, the son that was in the Father's house missing the blessing, and then God. And you got to see that God had a response to both of these. And I want to make sure that today I throw out an encouragement through a warning. Don't be either one of these two. Don't be either one of these two. Be in the Father's house, enjoying and receiving his blessings. That's what he has for you today. And I just wanted to encourage you. God, I am truly thankful, Lord, today for your blessings. I enjoy them, Lord, today, and I thank you for them. I thank that there's not a drug dealer knocking on my door. I thank you that I don't have the police out looking for me. But God, I pray that you would help us each one control our temper, our anger, what we say. But Lord, right now, we recognize that we do that with our choices. And Lord, I pray today that we would make right choices and that we would be encouraged today to do it your way. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.